Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
But it's Peterka who comes back for Buffalo, lays it to the wing, Cousins, Peterka scores! That is how you introduce yourself to the National Hockey League in the city of Buffalo. Far side gets it back again, near side, Peterka scores! J.J. Peterka! Cousins and Quinn, and Peterka is in front with an open net, scores! From the near circle, made no mistake! J.J. puts the Sabres back level at one apiece. Here's Peterka. He's got a lane. Scores! You find 77 with that kind of room. A lot of times, more than not, it will be in the back of the net. 3 seconds to go. Dahlin again. Walks in. Peterka scores! Just as the time expired. On the power play, and the Sabres have tied the game. Carried up ice, a 2-on-1 on entry. J.J. Peterka fires and scores.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
What is really coming down out there?
Last night, Yana says to me, we need to cover the patio furniture before we go to bed. And I said, yeah. Why? Well, it might rain a little bit in the morning. I'm like, it's not going to rain, but I'll cover it. Thank God I listened to my wife. That sentence has been uttered many times in my life.
Yep.
But yes, I woke up this morning and said, wow, glad I covered the patio furniture.
Yeah, the word monsoon came to mind at times early this morning. Waking up. Luckily for Jeremy, who's got the 100 holes of golf, as all those guys do at Wanaka Country Club this morning, it doesn't appear that it's raining like that down in Hamburg. So,
and I don't think it's going to last.
Yeah, so.
Right?
Yeah, so it could be worse. It could be worse, I guess. Good morning. Maybe you are waking up to the news that I know I woke up to. I think the trade happened at like 12:45 a.m. last night.
I had a long day yesterday. Went to bed early because having to get up for this show is not normal for me.
Right.
I got the alert, the text alert while I was sleeping.
Okay.
Did
you wake up to the text alert?
Yes.
Okay, so you kind of did find out in real time then.
I found out in real time from the Sabres text alert.
Right.
So it had been reported, I guess, before they make it official.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out via that, and I had to look at the phone to kind of see exactly what was happening. And wait a minute. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to think, all right, do I get up right now and look into it? No. I'm going to talk about this in like 5 hours.
Right. Go back to bed. Rest up. There's time. There's time to get to that. Do you keep your phone then on, alert, overnight? Like, your text?
That's a good question.
If someone texts you, there's the ping notification?
I will have to tell you, and so I do. Part of the reason is when I was younger, my father passed away when I was in college. It was more of a late night thing,
mm-hmm.
and that happened. So I've always mm-hmm. been weary of, okay, plus I'm in the business of news happening. Like, I just have to be ready for something to happen. The ironic part is the night the Bills allegedly traded for Antonio Brown, I had my phone on silent without realizing it when I went to bed and did not know.
Okay.
So I actually never had to deal with that.
You didn't. Meanwhile, I drove in here to talk for an hour with Brian, thinking that the deal had was done. So I've done a show talking about Antonio Brown coming to the Buffalo Bills,
and I basically slept through the whole thing, and then woke up and said, "Hey, what happened? Thing. What are you guys talking about? Right. I didn't see this.
It was over then, by that next morning.
No doubt about it. But to answer your question, what's funny is a couple nights ago, had a few texts come in late just for things that people were texting me about. And it was like, dude, it's late. I'm trying to fall asleep, but I don't want to shut off my phone.
Right.
You know, so, and then you wake up this morning and it's almost appropriate, right? I think a lot of people are upset. And it's gloomy and it's raining and it's appropriate that what the Sabres did last night trading J.J. Peterka. Joe, I said yesterday on the Extra Point Show, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I said yesterday, I don't see any way this team gets better in 2025 on the ice simply with a Paterka trade. You'd have to get the best player in the deal, and I didn't see that happening at all. There's no way to me they were trading J.J. Paterka and getting better via just a J.J. Paterka trade. So if you're going to deal him, and by the way, the goal this year is to be better, right? You have to be better. You have to win. They're not trying to get. They're not trying to take a step back, rebuild. They're not trying to get younger. The only way to get better via a J.J. Paterka trade is to have a secondary move after that. Doesn't have to be a trade. Could be a free agent signing. A plan that says, yes, we're moving him, but we're replacing him with player X or player XY, players X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. Okay, I would say, I think the opinion is, after what happened, the first part of that is right. They did not get better. They are not better today than they were 24 hours ago. They are worse on the ice than they were. What's next? Anything? Because if you don't replace... If you don't now make another move to get better, this is not a good trade for them to get better in 2025 and be a better roster.
I completely agree. I do not believe that they are a better roster this morning. Jeremy Joe, by the way, Sal is in this morning. And if you have reaction to this trade, feel free to get in on the phone lines at 803-0550. We'll be talking about it all morning. We'll have Matt Beauvais a little bit later on in the show. We have some open Paul Hamilton as well. But open time for your calls. It to me, on its own, really the only defense for it, in my opinion, is the, well, if I then go and trade Bo Byram for a really good forward, then I look back on the totality of the deals, and I feel pretty good about it. But how does that feel that that's the defense, or maybe the best defense, when you make a trade of with a player of this caliber? That's generally not a great trade in the moment when your instant reaction is, well, I hope they do this to offset what they just did, because what they just did to me is they caved. They caved on a player that didn't want to be here, and they said okay pretty quickly. Like, they did not really show much of a backbone, in my opinion, to trying to figure out if there could be a future here where Paterka would sign a short-term contract, or even see if, like, okay, go ahead, you think you can get an offer sheet from somewhere? Go do that, and we'll match it. Like, there was none of that from this team with this player. I thought, at least from reading Elliot Friedman and listening to Elliot Friedman over the course of the week, it sounded like from him, which was a little different sounding than from other insiders. Like, I think Frank Saravelli was more plugged in on the agent and that side of it. But Friedman had a sentiment for 2 weeks of the Sabres don't want to do this. They don't want to trade Paterka. They'd like to find a way to keep this relationship going. Or they would trade him. They've begun listening. But the only way they do it is if they... I don't think he used the word blow your socks off, but it was, by all intents and purposes, what he said. That you're really going to have to give him a juicy offer to get this player off their team. Michael Kesserling and Josh Doan, to me, doesn't strike that chord. And it doesn't mean that those two players cannot help the Sabres. I think there are some things to like about both of them. Really, what this trade does for me is it confirms a lot of priors about the Sabres that you might have had. One, the players that want to be here mentality, right? Again, no fighting, no, what do you mean you want out? Okay, you have 4 years we have 4 years of leverage, of contract control before you can hit unrestricted free agent status. So, okay, I respect your wanting out, but no, I'm not doing that. I've got you for 4 more years. I'm at least playing you for 1 more of the 4, and he's got to sign. Two, the not spending to the cap. You would have been had that confirmed yesterday. At this time, they could go and use it. Like, Owen, I woke up to your tweet of like, well, now the Sabres do have all this cap space to use, and I'd love for that to be true. How confident are we, though, that the Sabres are going to turn around and they're now viewing this as, man, look at, we got $21 million in cap space now. after trading Paterka. We didn't have to pay him $7.7 million, which is what he signed with Utah. So we can go use that. That's not how I approach that. That's not how I think about it on the surface. It's, oh, they're not going to spend the cap again because they traded a player that cost almost $8 million, and they replaced him with a couple of players that make less than $2 million total. So that prior would be confirmed. And the other one, which this isn't necessarily a negative one, this is something I think we've known about them for 2 years, which is they want to be tougher to play against. They absolutely want to be tougher to play against. And I think they did that with this trade. They got a good defensive defenseman who I've seen described, even though he's 6'5", as physical, but he's not like the meanest defenseman. He will drop the gloves if he needs to, but he's not going to be a bone-crushing hitter out there. So that helps you. And then Josh Doan looks like he's a player that makes a really solid defensive impact. But what did I give up to get tougher to play against? You know, like I gave up my second best 5-on-5 score. Paterka's not great in the power play, but I gave up a lot of goals, a lot of points, and a lot of contract control to get two players that are pretty good.
The only thing that you might get to me to say, look, I get it, you kind of had to do it this way, is looking at the number he signed with in Utah.
Yeah.
7.7 for how many years?
5 years.
5 years.
5 years, 7.7
7.7 for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see fans right now saying, yeah, that's, I'm not paying J.J. Paterka that much. Like, if that's what his asking price was, and he was going to make things really difficult on this organization. But I'll go back to, but you still had, you had control here. Like, you had leverage. Is he going to sit out the whole year? You're going to qualify him, and what's he going to do? Go to Germany and play?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he could do that. And, Joe, there is a scenario. And remember we talked yesterday. We said yesterday, we wondered what Kevin Adams meant by, I'll have more specifics. I can get more specific,
yes,
after the draft.
Right.
If Kevin Adams tells us, and we don't know if he's going to do this or not, if he tells us after the draft, look, guys, the reality is J.J. Paterka was going to make things very difficult and said, and we didn't know how long this could go. We could get to September. He's not playing for us. We had to make a move here because this is what he wanted. We didn't want to do that, right? It's kind of the James Cook situation, but different because the Bills actually, he's under contract and football's different, but you know how you say it could get ugly. And if he says that, and you get to, we had to do that, and then you think, well, how many other teams were willing to pay him 7.7? That's why you got this return. Utah was willing to do it, not as many teams, so you have far less bidders. That's the, to me, that's the only kind of the best way to get to, I can make a little more sense of this. Because otherwise, what I keep coming back to is you got to be better in 2025. That's the goal. Everyone knows, everyone stated it, people's jobs are on the line. This trade in itself does not make you better. 7.7 for 5 years, would you have been okay with that? If they did this, if we woke up today instead to the Sabres just signed J.J. Paterka to 7.7 over 5 years, what's your reaction?
I think it would have been great news. I think it would have been great news because I don't really view 7.7 as that expensive for a player of his caliber.
I don't disagree.
I think actually...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We have yet to, as a fan base, been...
I mean, he'd be that's more than Tage, by the way. He'd be the second highest paid player. Joshua Norris,
right.
7.9. Tage Thompson, 7.1.
How
right
about
now.
That? A guy that some people forget is even on the team because
yeah.
They only played three games. Their highest paid forward. But we haven't, as a fan base, really even been exposed to what players like this get in the open market because you have two things that have been working against that. One, Sabres have never spent to the cap since, you know, it's been at least 5 years since they spent to the cap. It's like $30 million of unused cap dollars in the last four seasons that they haven't used. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is they sign guys so early that you never go through this with Tage, where Tage at $7.1 million. Guarantee you Tage is not a $7.1 million hockey player. He's closer to a $10 million hockey player. The other thing now is the cap has gone up big time. $95 million this season. And next year, there are talks that it could be over $100. So $7.7 million, to me, would have been welcomed for this player. He's a very good
especially
player.
Especially on a five-year deal versus a even longer. Maybe
sure.
You can revisit and see where you are.
Sure, I would have been fine with the 5 years.
Yeah,
I mean, it was 2 years. I would have been okay with it. Just anything that is going to have him on the ice for you this season.
Yeah.
Because this season, I don't care about the age for this moment in time. I'm trying to win right now if I'm that team. And this guy helps me win in a big way. And to have him dealt like this quickly, where, oh man, like the worry of, oh, he might not be signed and sit out in training camp in September. Just come on. I'd hate to harp on the same example all the time, but Jonathan Drouin wrote a letter to the Lightning saying he'd never play for the organization again, and the team said, yeah, we're still not trading you, and he ended up playing for them again. It happens.
And yesterday, the other part of it was what I said when we were on together. If Kevin Adams does this, if he trades him only because the guy says, I'm not playing for you, and I want to play for you, and his mantra is, I only want players who want to be here, and here you have a 23-year-old who has not developed. We know that. Look, I mean, he's super young in this league, who's a high-level scorer for you, and you say, okay, you don't want to be here, I'm going to trade you. It's just setting a bad precedent to keep doing this. Because what's to stop the next guy from doing it? And by the way, maybe that's why they signed Tage Thompson early and Matias Samuelson early.
Sure.
And Dylan Cousins early, because I just don't want to get a position where they say they don't want to play for me anymore.
They got
it's
spooked.
Not even about the... Yeah, that's yeah. Right. I don't want to be in that position. You just made it. If this is the reason why you're trading Tage Thompson, guess what? You just made it even easier for the next guy to walk into your office and say, wait, that's all I need to do to get to go somewhere else?
Yeah.
I don't want to be here anymore. Please trade me. Okay.
Yeah.
I fear about that.
I would too, a little bit. I used the example yesterday of... was high school or college or whatever. Maybe you had this where you have a job, like a retail job that really stinks. Nobody likes it. But you got like a group of friends that are there, so you're all doing it together or whatever. And then that first person quits. And then it's like, okay, I think
and then gates open.
Within a month, everybody's gone. Because like, all right, we're good here. And sure, if in a year, maybe right now they're saying, I'm good. We're going to give it another year. I'm not thinking about it right now. But in a year, if they miss the playoffs again, and Darlene goes, oh, year 8, I think I might be done. And he thinks, you know, JJ got out pretty easily last year.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that contentious. There wasn't that much of a fight. He got right out. Then it might allow them to be... It might allow them to get to that decision quicker. Rather than... an organization that, listen, you can't just do, everybody's got to be dying to wake up a Buffalo Sabre, like Adams talked about earlier in the week. You can't assume everybody on the team is thinking that way. It's just, you haven't earned that as a team and as an organization. You have to earn that. And they have a locker room right now with guys that, it just might be how, depending on how brash a person is. Where, okay, a guy like Paterka has the self-confidence to go tell his agent, like, yeah, go get me out of there. Like, I don't want to be there. Where there might be other players on the team that are thinking it every day, but they don't really want to make a problem. And now, when you show everybody else, like, oh, it won't really be that much of a problem. We'll just trade you in a week or in a month, however long it's been since Paterka might have wanted out. Just, I don't like the precedent that sets, and I don't like that they were willing to set that precedent for only this much. Which, again, like if you don't know much about these players, listen, that's no shame on you. Like these are not really household names in the league. They're young players.
Mm-hmm.
They have played each two full seasons in the NHL. They have actually
one's 22,
really,
one's
Dones
25.
Only played one. Right. 22 and 25. Not that they're here to score goals, but they have scored a combined goals in their careers less than what Paterka scored last season. So there's that. But one of them is a defenseman, and Kesserling could be good. I watched some of him this morning. Like 6'5", he skates really well. He has a nice shot, although I did see a good evaluation of him that he shoots all the time. Like he shoots a lot, which might not be a good thing because he only scored 7 goals. But whatever, like there looks like there's a heavy shot.
I'm kind of here for that. That's funny.
Just shoot. Just every time he gets it.
Got a guy that just shoots all the time, and like we're just gonna go mad about it.
Yeah, no matter.
They're gonna love it when it goes in, and then like, why is this guy shooting?
Yeah, he's the Jameis Winston of defensemen. Uncorking it. So that might be a good player. Right shot defenseman, 6'5". Like we could talk more about him. We'll try to get a guest on from Utah at some point, and then Josh Doan, who's gonna help them on defense. Good defensive forward.
Let me ask you this: you just said it. Right shot D. Remember right Kevin Adams even said in the press conference, right shot D are very hard to come by. Do you think, it reads to me like they kind of made sure, like if we're going to do this, we got to get that type of player back, which kind of pins you in a little bit of a corner if you're going to do that. Like, hey, what's the asking price for J.J. Paterka? You ask 20 teams who are interested, and every team he talks to, he says, you got to give me back a right shot D.
Yep.
That really limits the pool of what you can trade for.
It does, and I don't, man, I think they probably did prioritize that in a big way, and I would question that. I would really question that, because the whole left shot, right shot, I do feel like it is way overvalued, especially when the Sabres specifically have two defensemen that lead that position group, one in Dahlin, who has spoke openly about that he prefers the right side because it gives him more passing angles as a defenseman. And then two, Adams is the one who said this, not anybody else, at the end of season press conference when asked about right shot, left shot D, and Owen Power, he said that they had numbers that indicated Power is better on the right side than he is on the left. I guess that's not true, or it's true and they just don't care, or they just think that the future he'll be better on the left. I don't know, but I didn't have any problem with Dahlin and Power playing on their offsides. And I think that if they acquired a lesser player because he's a righty instead of a lefty, that's not going to sit well with me. But he is right. Like, there are not a lot of right shot D that are available. They are way overvalued in the league. And listen, that would be one area where I'd like a GM to kind of take advantage of the league, not fall in line with, oh yeah, I'll spend a ton to get guys that, I mean, Kesserling cost a lot to get. J.J. Paterka is what it cost to get this guy as a right shot defenseman who has never played 18 minutes a night per season. He's played it in a single game, I'm sure. 17 minutes and 41 seconds. Okay, let's hear what they have to say about an increased role, because I would imagine they're putting him on the ice 20 minutes a night, at least, to make this trade worth it.
Well, I want to get into today to what could be next, because you have to start thinking now about what they could do.
For sure.
But I'm looking at the number, and I'm thinking about the conversation. Did you hear yesterday the conversation I had with Josh about, you know how offer sheets work with the AAV compared to a normal AAV?
Yeah, I think so.
So if you sign a player to an offer sheet, it doesn't matter if it's 6 years or 7 years or 10 years. You only take the total value and squeeze it to 5 years for the compensation purposes.
Interesting.
I didn't know this until Marty brought it up on Sabres Live. So
yeah, I didn't
either. If you sign an offer sheet to a guy for, let's just use round numbers here, 7 years, $70 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's not $10 million a year. For the compensation purposes, it's 70 divided by 5, not 7.
Really?
Yes. So I'm looking at the number. I'm like, so that's why Marty said this a couple weeks ago. He said, that's why offer sheets are generally no longer than 5 years. Now I look at Paterka's contract. Hmm. He signs 5 years, 7.7. I'm thinking that maybe Utah made it known to Buffalo, we're going to sign him to an offer sheet of 7.7. You look at that AAV of 7.7. Offer sheet. What is the comp? Two firsts, a second, and a third. I'm sorry. A first, a second, and a third.
One first,
a second, and a third. If I'm the Sabres, I've said this all along, and I'll stick to it. I'm not interested in that. I'm not taking that compensation. I don't care.
No,
so,
I'm not.
So what does that lead you to? Sabres go, okay, we're not paying them that, so just make a deal and give us players. Because to me, it has to be where the Sabres then said, we're not going to match that offer sheet, but we're also just, we don't want the compensation, so what do you want to do here?
Or you match it.
Right, they could have matched it. I agree with you.
Or you match it.
I agree with that, and they should have done that. But yes. my thought is here, this is what happened.
Right.
That they decided we're not paying that money.
But this is where
this player.
This is where I just don't. And we got to take a break. And we have some guys who want to get in on the phone lines on this. That's where I just don't feel like the Sabres were squeezed. I know that there was the talk of the offer sheet and, you know, a guy that doesn't want to be there, but I don't feel like they were squeezed that much, because even in a hypothetical like that, I'm still the guy with the leverage if I have the opportunity to match it. Because, okay, I'm not saying you'd want him to play the whole 5 years, but all right, here, you just gave me an extra year of control. You're under contract now for 5 years, and I'll trade you when someone offers something good. I'll look. I'll like to, in respect to the player, like I'll call around even. I'll listen. But I'm not trading you until somebody gives me the value. And until then, you're under contract.
And you need to keep playing.
Play.
If somebody wants you and wants to pay you.
Right. And listen, that's the other... There's a lot of assets or factors to get to on this. And the idea that they felt like they had to trade him. But Paterka... Like, you didn't even test him in his agent of what if they sit out and don't play for you at the beginning of the season after you match an offer sheet or something, how's that going to look on him? Hockey is not like other sports. Like, hockey culture could look down on you big time for that if you sit out games and don't play. So I think the Sabres should have called his bluff. I think they should have called his bluff on whether he might have sat out or not played or not signed a contract. And they didn't even test it. Didn't even test it.
I think technically, I don't know, and I have to look operationally. I could be wrong. I don't think you could sit out after matching an offer sheet, because that becomes binding. I do think you could sit out after giving him a qualifying offer.
Right.
And then him... Yeah, you're right. What I'm saying, though, he could have said... He could have just not signed, though, I'm saying.
Okay,
Once he signs the offer sheet, he signs. Then he's got to play.
Yeah.
He's signed. He's not under contract.
Right.
Until... During an RFA status.
Right. 803-0550 is the phone number. Mark and Scott, if you hang on hold through the break, we'll get to you right when we come back. We have open phone lines at 803-0550. J.J. Paterka traded late last night, almost 1 o'clock in the morning, for Michael Kesserling and Josh Doan of the Utah Mammoth. The Sabres trading another one of their critical players to a team that didn't exist 5 years ago. They did that before. Jeremy is doing 100 holes right now. We'll check in with him, get his thoughts on this trade and also what's going on and how he's doing down at Wanaka. We'll talk to Matt Beauvais a little bit later on. He did a mock off season yesterday. We already got that. We already got one deal that's happened, so off season's already begun for the Sabres. Draft on Friday. It's Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio. Do your phone calls next here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.